It will depend on something. What will it depend on? It also depends whether you will boldly accept this fact that you are the divine fragment, the spirit, as much as you are this body, brain, system. You saw the condition now? The condition for change is, it also depends whether you will boldly accept this fact that you are the divine fragment, the spirit, as much as you are this body, brain, system. The two are the two sides of a coin. One is external, the other is internal. Got it? The coin has two sides. One side is the body, brain, system. The other side is the divine fragment. Unless you accept this basic fact, nothing will happen. Why? Let us see why. Or whether you prefer to worship in an external temple, church, mosque, an external god, and consider yourself a sinner, a servant, or a slave of such god falling down on your knees. This will be one reason when you cannot progress. But if you believe that one side of you is your system, the other side of you is the divine segment, there are all possibilities you progress. But if you think you are a sinner, a slave, I must go down on my knees and ask for forgiveness, I must go to a church or temple, you are fooling yourself. God does not dwell in small places like church, temple, mosque. The whole creation is within God, so how can a church, temple, anything hold the infinite God? And a segment of that infinite God is you, one side. The other side is this, the body brain system. So, if you decide to change your structure, there are two absolutely opposite viewpoints. One is, one side is God, the other side is me, let that other side be God. But the other thing is, I am only a sinner, a slave, and I cannot improve. God must forgive me, then only things will happen. Then you are out, you are cut off your progress altogether. So this must be clear in your mind. You either accept your self-created limitation and see no way out, then nothing will happen to you. Or you accept your self-created limitation and put all your force to totally dissolve and eradicate them. That is also a way to progress. And the third, you accept that your other self is in fact the divine segment. The segment of divine wholeness in which you can merge and from which you can re-emerge at will. That is, you are in fact the divine wholeness, Paramatma. The other side of you has no limit. Limitless other side you have. There is a very historical fact it is about Walter Raleigh. When young Walter Raleigh faltered and hesitated, knowing the Queen's temper, he wrote two lines to catch the attention of the Queen. Fain would I rise, but I fear the fall. You see the negative mind? Fain would I rise, willingly I will rise, but I fear the fall. The mind was weak. There was no possibility of progress. So the Queen wrote, if that faint heart fails thee, do not rise at all. You understand? The same will God tell you, if your faint heart fails thee, do not rise at all. Remember you are. You get my point? So I say to you all, if your faint heart fails you, and you want to timidly believe in a God, gospel, and restrictions from the gospel, or recitations from the gospel, and the rituals and ceremonies, then in that case, do not hear me or follow whatever I have said or have to say. Then like Buddha, I have to tell you, your ways are not mine, neither my way yours. The luck. He take the word on this point totally.
without any Mullahji being there present. I said, Salah, Salah, three times, and I will take the oath. Huh? There are three distinct ways you can select from. First, you are a sinner, a servant, a slave, and can do nothing. The second, that you have created the many self-created limitations, and with a brave heart, you will resolutely and sincerely take the path of progress. The Yoga Sutra and the Gita path are equivalent in any other form. The third way, know that the self-created limitations are for the body brain system one side of the coin, while you are in fact the divine segment the other side of the coin, and nothing in any way can touch you or limit you. You can then take a quantum jump and reach your celestial home. You can then take a quantum jump and reach celestial home. But the jump is across a gulf that is a few light years wide. And down in the valley are spears. So as you jump and if you fall, you will be caught on the spear. No? So what shall we do? But for the third way, you will have to firmly realize that this universe and all that it contains with its creatures, its gods, A mere touch of understanding, and they are, and with that the universe is dissolved. Because Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Buddha, Krishna, Christ, that is all that has a name and form, are of the substance of the bubble. If you have, you and I have a name and form, we are the substance of the bubble. But our other side is the infinite God. Your gospels, your beliefs, your knowledge, all is of the nature of the bubble. A mere touch of this right understanding dissolves the Brahman. To take a quantum jump, now what does it mean? To take a quantum jump is not easy, because if in any corner of your brain, mind, or memory, or your understanding, or your knowledge, there is even a little hesitancy, not only you will not be able to take the quantum jump, but would suffer the consequences of self-betrayal. Understand this? You must understand this properly. If you want to take the quantum jump, if you want to firmly believe that I am not this body, but in the corner of your understanding, my mother used to say, no, every night you must pray before going to bed. No, you must never talk about God like this. If there's some memory in some corner of your brain and mind, you will never be able to take this quantum jump. Why? Because you have betrayed yourself. You have not firmly believed that the other side of myself is the ultimate divine law. If that understanding is absolutely firm, then only the quantum jump is possible. If you hesitate in your mind somewhere, oh, how can I talk about Christ like this? Oh, how can I speak about Buddha like this? You will go down in that valley on that spear, crack. Yoga Sutra, Book 121 says, the attainment of this state of spiritual consciousness is requisite for those whose will is intensely alive. Intensely alive. There is no no in your dictionary. The will is intensely alive. The doctor used to tell me, I'll come if there's no rain.
spirit is not going in. No, you are telling me, no, that some people talk like this.
That's very well, sir. He used to tell me that some people say, I will come if it is not raining. Not that I will come tomorrow. I will come if it is not raining. That is at the back of my mind, I said half no. And half yes. To please you, I said yes. But no is at the back of my mind, I will not go tomorrow. You get my point? So if there is self-betrayal, it will not happen. The only factor that will keep you bound to what you are today will be your own self-betrayal. If your will is not intensely alive, you are betraying yourself. On this path, lukewarm efforts will do nothing. On this path, lukewarm efforts do nothing. In an intensely cold place, you don't take lukewarm bath, you have very warm, hot water bath. So in this intense cold, frigid of this path, your will must be intensely hot. White hot. Then there is hope, not otherwise. If I will time, I will read this. Yes, that is self-betrayal. Oh, I was very busy the whole month, I couldn't read it. It is self-betrayal. I was not feeling myself, I did not do my exercise. It is self-betrayal. There is no intense desire to progress. To give up everything, even food, even friendship, even companionship, even making money. If what you have laid down, you have not done. You fix an hour of your life daily where you will do certain things. Intensely alive, the will is intensely alive. You cannot do without this. You can do without food or sleep, but you can't do without that 1 hour you have earmarked every day. That is intensely alive will. You see? Without that, nothing will happen. Nothing. After a million years, nothing. Progress may be 1 centimeter, not more. You can hardly turn back and look where I was a million years ago. You are there, 1 centimeter ahead, that's all. Now, in the year 86, I have given you notes. In the year 86, I have given you notes. Notes on what is chitti. Chitti. The infinite mind, the universal divine mind, that is everything in this bubble. In this bubble, the whole bubble, I told you it's an egg. And the yellow of the egg flows in the white of the egg. The white of the egg is the infinite mind. The yellow of the egg is this Bhuvasvaha and all its creatures. This very vital source, this very vital source, Chitti, infinite mind, universal divine mind, which is nothing but its concentrations at different levels are you and me, are suns and earths and galaxies. It is infinite mind. It is chitti alone. The very first paragraph I will read out to you. The universe seen by man, the universe seen by man is there because of chitti. Understand? The cosmic energy of pure awareness, which is freedom itself, uncreated, unpredictable, unconditioned, unlimited, untinted, and that is absolutely self-reliant. You are
even this physical aspect of yours is made up of this. Understand? Let go your divine segment. Your other side of the coin, the physical body brain system, is built out of chitti. The cosmic energy of pure awareness, which is freedom itself, uncreated, unpredictable, unconditioned, unlimited, untainted. Untainted means no quality predominant. All the qualities are in balance and rhythm. Even this is made up of this. And you consider yourself sinner, servant of God, slaves of God. And you must go to a temple or a church. You must go down on your knees and say, "Your God has been forgiven." This is what you are made of. Let go your divine fragment. It is wonderful, this is God itself. But your this structure is also made up of this. But there is no limitation to what you can improve to. Understand? Is it clear? Is it not great hope that you can be something? Because even this is structured from this. No. Shaking head won't help me. But if this is true, then that intense will must come. That must be ignited. Intense will. You get that? Nothing must stop you. Rain or shine. Fix your time, 1 hour per day, or whatever it is, and nothing must stop you. I have to go out of Bombay, so 2-3 days I couldn't do anything. 2-3 days you found time to sleep, you found time to eat, you found time to gossip. You found no time for this. No. This lukewarm attitude will not help. If anything else can be given up, may be given up, but this. You get my point? Unless you are working with intense will, it won't happen. Because you are going to create an intense structure, unlimited in performance. So it calls for unlimited performance on your part. How many have come here after 86? To doctor, I got it, because I don't keep my past record. And these notes, there are 22 stanzas about chitti, how the big this structure is created. I have taken 4 turns in 86, July, June, July, August, September, to explain these 22 stanzas. I don't know what I am going to do now for you all. Because if you understand what is chitti, then you will realize that your rotten outside structure is made of chitti. Your better structure, the divine segment, is still better. But even this side of the coin is made of this chitti. To be worthy of chitti calls for intense efforts. It will not otherwise work. Why? Why? Chitti being omnipresent in the universe, being the cause of your own individual mind, chitta. Any reservations in the back of your mind, chitti will know. And it will amount to self-betrayal, giving chitti a false promise. Yes, I will follow. You see? Therefore, I am not asking a promise from you to me. I am asking a promise of you to chitti, to your own chitta. so that you will not self-betray. That is very important. On this path, this is very important. It is not enough to quote from the pastors and talk about this and that and Atma and Paramatma. It's all humbug to talk. If you betray yourself in your doing, it will not help. You must be honest about all with your own self. It does not matter if you are not honest with me, but you must be honest with your own self. Because through your chitta, chitti will know what is in the deepest corner of your brain. And unless, if you are absolutely honest, progress is very difficult. Chitti will immediately make a note that this particular person is not very, very eager to progress. Let him remain where he is. This is very important. Why does God know every thought that we have? The chitti can know. Chitti is created by God. God alone should know. This is self-betrayal. If you go to Mandi and go on your knees and pray and make some resolution, you are going to pray even that bitey where you are praying, because you are not standing up to your promise. It's a promise. Promise is very important. Promise to your own self is most important. Therefore, most intense will is called for. The attainment of the state of spiritual consciousness is rapid for those whose will is intensely alive. The intense devotion to Ishvara, knowledge of Ishvara is gained. See, everywhere the intense word comes in. This Ishvara is the soul, the divine segment, untouched by limitations, free from karma and desire. Now, I have not explained to you so far what is a quantum jump. What is a quantum jump? And is becoming a human being, is at all possible? What is a quantum jump? And is leaping across that wide gulf to become a human being? Let us see. What are the steps essential for a quantum jump? The Yoga Sutra mentions them, and from that it is clear that an ape cannot become at any future time a human being. These steps are even very difficult for a human being. That is, to shed consciously the outer covering, or be unhindered in any way by this outer covering of body-brain system. In Book 2, Sutra 1, the Sutra mentions, the yoga of action leading to union with the soul, divine fragment, is fiery aspiration, spiritual reading and devotion to Ishvara. There are three things required. Fiery aspiration, you are on fire. Spiritual reading and devotion to Ishvara.
The reading.
Coming to it. There are three things required. What is the first? It is the most important thing. You are on fire for your aspiration for spiritual consciousness. You are on fire. Most of you appear to me as if you are sitting on ice. Well, the first condition is that you should be on fire. You should not be able to sit constantly for a second because you are on fire. You are not sitting on ice. The second condition is spiritual reading. I know of reading. But what is spiritual reading? It is not reading spiritual text. Spiritual reading means to see a human being or to pick up an object and see its purpose, its past, its present, its future, its thinking, structure that is going to be free tomorrow, remain for a billion years enslaved. All these to read in a moment is called spiritual reading. This reading is done by divine fragments. Through bodybuilding system, through these eyes. You have heard in Gita, no? Krishna has given divine sight to Arjuna. Because Arjuna's Atma was not able to see through those eyes. You know that, no? So to read this spiritual reading, the divine fragment reads through these human eyes. And for that, these human eyes must be structured. Like this structure, these human eyes must be structured, must be raised so that you think I am looking at you. I am not looking at you. The divine fragment is looking at you through this physical body brain system. And that divine fragment can be everything. But provided I raise my structure, raise the structure of my eyes so that they are transparent enough for divine fragment to see through. That is called spiritual reading. In short, uplift your structure. Uplift your structure, because Krishna is not going to give all of us special eyes. That is only in the Gita for Arjuna and temporarily. It is for you and me, therefore, to raise the structure of the divine fragment to read. That is called what? Spiritual reading. And what is called? Devotion to Ishvara. Who is devotion to whom? Devotion to Ishvara. Who is devotion to whom? Radhe Krishna. The devotion of Radhe to Krishna. The greatest love story in the world ever. Radhe Krishna. Radha wanting nothing from Krishna. Krishna wanting nothing from Radhe. Each loving each other profusely. Radhe Krishna. This is Radhe. The divine fragment is Krishna. And then this love between this part of side of the coin and this side of the coin is created between this body brain system and the divine fragment. And this Radhe Krishna love is created. It is called devotion to Ishvara. You got it? These are the three essentials. You must be on fire. You must raise your structure to such limits so that divine fragment can see through. And for this, devotion of this body brain system to only one divine fragment, Ishvara. But then, at no corner of your brain and mind there should be self-betrayal. You must firmly stand on this. Agree to believe? Or just agree? A human being becoming God, or rather a human being knowing himself as God, and not what his outer covering of body brain system is. But I repeat, beware of self-betrayal. Compared to a quantum jump, that is natural evolution. An ape becoming a better ape. A human being becoming a better human being. Rice, cotton, wheat becoming a better variety. That is called evolution. After a million years, you turn back and see, oh, I advanced 1 centimeter. That is evolution. But internal self-evolution entirely will depend upon you, on your intense effort, upon your intense devotion, and upon the possibility of spiritual leading. All call for one thing only, refined structure. To come back to the subject,
we have noted that the thinking instrument, along with the thinking principle, is responsible for present self-created limitations. And these are the very instruments that can give us eventual liberation. If this much is clear, we can now begin with Yoga Sutra and follow the second way, rejecting the thought that I am a sinner, but finding the third, the quantum jump, too difficult for almost all of us. I'm sure those might shake your head and say, yes, yes. At the back of your mind may be some weakness that will be self-betrayal. So, we take the second way. Up till now, the inner man has identified himself. The Yoga Sutra talk about persons in all three ways. And we shall begin with the first and second and see what the Sutra has to say. Up till now, the inner man has identified himself with his form and with the actual modification. I am a sinner, I am a slave, so God forgive me. Go to the church, the temple of... You go to your temple or church, you know? And then you ask what? God forgive me. So God give me this without deserving. Up till now, the inner man, you see there are three men. The outer man, the inner man and the spiritual man. You are not one. This is the outer man. Your astral body and manas is the inner man and the one segment is the spiritual man. There are three within one. So, what does the Sutra say? Up till now, the inner man has identified himself with his forms and with their actual modifications. Up till now, we have not thought of the astral body. We have never thought about astral body and mind, how it can be used in conjunction with the physical body. We have given no thought to it. We have considered that this physical body and brain is the man. Somewhere we have heard, we have a soul. We don't know what it is, we have heard that there is something called Atma and it is within me. Like a little boy learning his poetry. We have learned it. We have never learned its meaning. See? We have never said, I am a soul having a body. We have always said, I have an Atma within me. We have never said, I am the soul having a body. We never say this. Even in Pandavas, we never say this. We talk of an Atma, oh yes, inside me there is Atma. See? But me is very important. These modifications are correct knowledge, incorrect knowledge, fancy, passivity, myth and memory. These are the five states in which we find ourselves in the 24 hours. Either we have collected correct knowledge, either we have collected incorrect knowledge, either we are in fancy, that means brooding or daydreaming, either we are asleep or we live by memory. Pain, despair, misplaced bodily activity and wrong direction of life current are the result of the obstacles in the lower psychic nature. We have had all before talked about obstacles and hindrances and how like weeds they must be removed so that spiritual harvest we can have. So, all this is what? Pain, despair, misplaced bodily activity, wrong breathing and are the result of obstacles in the lower psychic nature. What is the lower psychic nature? Our emotional structure. Our emotional structure is of a lower psychic nature. Remember, the astral body is the emotion body. Your astral body is the emotion body. Your physical body experiences emotions because your inner body, the astral body, is purely an emotion body. And when you suffer emotionally, you might become sad, you might feel grunties within you. But on your astral body, there are scars but in a lifetime do not heal. There are scars, and these scars, these emotional scars on the astral body, make you go back into your past and think what the sad things that happened in your life. You see? So the lower psychic nature is your astral body and manas, which is nothing but your entire emotional structure, not from today, but from the day you started as a human being. And this forms your psychic nature. The sutras call lower psychic nature because these are emotions that have only given you pain and suffering, and which has created a structure in your physical body and brain to only live by those emotions, only judge by those emotions. You see? That is why pain, despair, you see? Wrong direction of life current that is breathing are the result of obstacles in the lower psychic nature. In the physical body, there are nerves, and blood is flowing through those nerves. If there is an obstacle, take an example, a little, clot in your bloodstream. How dangerous it is, no? It's a little obstacle in your bloodstream, and it might mean death. In your psychic body, in your astral body, your emotional nerves, the nadis, if they are choked, it is very dangerous as having a clot in your blood. It can reach the heart or it can reach the brain. You understand? So this is called obstacle in your psychic, lower psychic nature. Now, you do not know how you have filled up your psychic nature, how, what, where you have collected your emotions, which bring you today pain and despair. We cannot search them, and we cannot one by one eradicate them. Therefore, the sutras say, raise your structure. By doing certain things, raise your structure, and the lower psychic nature will be refined. That is why we do the refining exercises. We do the corrective exercises, we do the cleansing exercises, we do the three-step breathing. Why? For one purpose only, to remove the obstacles from the lower psychic nature. Is it clear? Why we are doing this? Because the lower psychic nature, or your astral body, is the primary body. Your physical body is your secondary body. You will suffer more in your psychic body than in your physical body. And if your psychic body has obstacles in its nadis, where emotions of wrong nature block the passage, you will suffer in your physical body. Avidya is the cause of all other obstructions, whether they be latent in process of elimination, overcome or in full operation. See, the finest word that Hindu pastors have given the world is avidya. There is no path. There is no path in punya. No. Later on it was added by the fifth class, path in punya. It is vidya and avidya. See, if you do something wrong, they are not to blame you. It is avidya. See, there may be a certain obstacle in your emotional nature. There may be some cause there which has made you do that. No thief, no murderer likes to live that life. But because of certain obstacles, cannot see beyond what he is doing. You see, and he does it. As I told you some time back, we will need not prisons but clinics. Clinics to change the lower psychic nature. You see? If man knows then, he will never do it again. No amount of prison life will ever cure a wrongdoer. You see? A criminal. For whom we call criminal is a mentally, emotionally sick person. That's all. So the first thing we should do is remove the obstacles and the hindrances from the lower psychic nature. Avidya. As long as you don't do it, it amounts to avidya. So long as the roots, sanskara, structure exists, that fusion will be birth, life and experiences, resulting pleasure and pain. The structure, as long the structure will remain, you can't help it. It will be self-inflicted limitation. This sanskar, the structure must be changed, must be refined. Contrary to yoga, you see, this is the finest way of putting it. Thoughts contrary to yoga are harmfulness, falsehood, self, incontinence and avarice. You see, it's the very first four words. Thoughts contrary to yoga, meaning yoga is a way of life. And if thoughts that are contrary to that way of life, contrary to yoga. Yoga is a way of life. Yoga means balance and rhythm. Balance and rhythm in your brain, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your actions, in everything. There is rhythm and balance. That is called yoga. Anything that disturbs that rhythm and balance is thought contrary to yoga. And what is disturbing that beautiful rhythm and balance? Harmfulness, falsehood, theft, incontinence, avarice. You say, I don't indulge in falsehood. Even Yudhishthira indulge in falsehood. On this path, the word is to weigh very well. When you buy gold, how the goldsmith weighs, no? Less one, half a gram might go here and there, because it's a very costly metal. So when you are on the yoga path, there you have to still weigh very carefully, each word. You may not say any falsehood, you see, normally. But when you say it, you don't know. Last time I told you, no? About that boy. Bolu to mama jaye, na bolu to baap kutta khaye, you know? When you are in such condition, whether you tell a lie or a truth is your test. You see? Like Yudhishthira had to say, Vishvatthama mar gaya, parantu asti, which he said very softly, parantu asti. But it was a lie. Vishvatthama was not the son of Dronacharya. Dronacharya. But the thing that died was a Hasti known as? That is a lie. You see? So lie can be on a higher scale of this type. Falsehood can be of this type. So you have to weigh everything on this path. You have to be extremely vigilant. There is identity of relation between memory and effect-producing cause, even when separated by species, time and place. This we have seen. Desire to live being eternal. Pardon? Species means? Today you are on this world, tomorrow you may be in another galaxy. But what you have created will follow you. Be a human being. But you, as a barbarian, you might look different. In your clothes today, you might look different. But what you have done as a barbarian will still follow. The cycle is long, will still follow you today. Many times I am asked, many times people ask me, why should Ramakrishna Paraman suffer from this? The karma we create comes in cycles like this. And the man to yoga path might go up like this. So the man goes in a lift. The karma comes like this over the staircase. But ultimately catches the man. By that time he will be a different person. Ramakrishna was a different species of human being. Like Christ, like, you see, there are different species of human being. Yes. Ultimately, however slow moving, it will reach and catch hold of that man who has gone in a lift.
You see? So, whether you are different species, whether you are in another galaxy, it is immaterial. It will catch up slowly. If you have created it, it will come and meet you and say, how are you? I will come to see you. That's the matter ends. Finished. And even if it is Ramakrishna, he has to suffer.